Cock-a-doodle-doo!
Good morning, all.
What day is it?
Pump day.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
It's Wednesday. Who doesn't get excited about Wednesday?
That sounds boring. You'll be great at it.
I'm waiting anxiously for what happens next.
These guys are hilarious.
I'm a pretty good guy, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how much fun we can have together.
Sounds like a fun crew.
Let Wednesday begin!
Hit it!
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Good morning and welcome. The Lauren and Wally Morning Show is on the air here for WROR. It is Wednesday morning. And what is 76 degrees, 77
already
out there.
Already.
I know. It's just, yeah.
It's
you know
not,
what I mean?
Yeah, it's not my favorite. It's going to be, there are thunderstorms coming this morning, so
yeah.
That's fun.
Always fun.
No, we always need the rain.
Oh, yeah, we need the rain. Okay, here we go. Things we got coming up on the program today. A lot of stuff is going on here. We got to help PJ, the Eternal Intern. She's got problems with squirrels. And I know people in the nation out there can help her.
Okay.
We got to help LB this morning because she's a terrible beacher.
I'm a bad beacher. I need to beach with a buddy, I found out, because if I'm left to my own devices, I probably would end up, I don't know, in the middle of the ocean with the Coast Guard.
You didn't leave Lucy on the Cape, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I know. You know what? I remembered my kid. Maybe not my beach chair, but I remember my kid.
What do you think? Maybe like a little right after 7, maybe we can get it. Tips from the nation.
Yeah, because I need help.
On the beach
help.
Report.
It's not my fault, really.
Okay, right after 7 o'clock this morning.
There's an app for that.
Is there?
But you have to remember your phone.
Oh, okay. Well, that's tough. That's tough, too.
Okay, did you see the sinkhole yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Did you see the guy drive through it?
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about, you know, if your car went into a sinkhole, like we saw yesterday.
Because the guy's car is split in half and all the stuff in his car just floated to the top.
Okay, what would float out of your car?
Wait, what would float out of Hank's car is more important.
That would be amazing.
Could be a used bicycle and a six-pack of Reese's peanut butter cups.
Okay. Hey, how about them Red Sox?
Oh, my God, I watched that last night.
Oh, unbelievable. Okay, it's 6:45 this morning. Hank's going to give you the whole scenario on the Red Sox.
I have goosebumps again.
You realize that the Red Sox are playing over 700 baseball right now.
Ridiculous.
Unprecedented.
First
really?
Team to 80 yeah. wins in the majors this
okay,
year.
Okay, like they're only, 44 games left in the entire season now.
Oh, good.
And if the Red Sox only play 500 ball from now on, they'll still have 104 wins.
I know.
Which is really fantastic. It's amazing. So, you know, we don't want to get too excited.
Feels
too
good now.
I know. Okay.
But we folded before. There's time.
That's right. Yeah, I have no fear. We got plenty of time to fold.
Oh, my God.
Okay, plus we got Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. That's coming up in 10 minutes right here at WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Win a Grand in 60 Seconds is on the air. This is the opportunity when an everyday person is going to get the chance to be on the radio and win $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. And he's more than just an everyday person. He is a bus driver from Melrose, Massachusetts. His name is Len Sampson, and he believes that he can do it. He can answer those 10 questions that will be uttered by LBF in a 60-second time frame. Hey, Len, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Feeling strong?
Well, we'll give it a shot.
Okay. Not that's no attitude. Come on, man. I'm going to win a grand in 60 seconds from Century
Sounds
Bank.
Good to me. My wife will be thrilled.
Okay.
Good for you. LBF will ask you 10 questions within a time frame of 60 seconds. You answer as many as you can, as fast as you can. Anything you don't know, say pass, move on. We get to the end. You've had time to think about it subconsciously. You come back before the buzzer. You answer the questions. Get all 10 right. We give you $1,000 from Century Bank. LBF says she's got the questions ready, and you are ready. So let's get this game underway. 3, 2, 1, go.
What is the worth of 3 dimes, 5 nickels, and a quarter?
30. Three dimes, 5, 25, 80 cents.
What is the postal abbreviation for the state of Connecticut?
PT.
What 80s British pop duo is known for the song Sweet Dreams?
Simon & Garfunkel.
What is the capital of the state of Alaska?
Genoa.
What does the B stand for in scuba diving?
Breathing.
Who was the founder of Java computer language?
Yes.
What country is known as the land of the midnight sun?
Japan.
Who did Robert Redford co-star with in All the President's Men? Ooh, I got nervous at that one.
Time is up. I would have given you the Dustin Hoffman on the end because you were really close on that one.
Yes.
But, yeah, you got a little confusion there, the midnight sun and the rising sun.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, Norway is the land of the midnight sun. James Gosling is the founder of Java computer language. And what did you say the capital of the state of Alaska was?
Genoa?
Well, you mispronounced it. It's a... Juno is way
yes. But I get it.
I'll take that from you.
And Eurythmics. Yes, the Eurythmics sing Sweet Dreams.
Okay. But we do have a fine consolation
prize.
We do. Yes, and I think you'll enjoy this great deal. Len, this is a 4-pack of passes to take a cruise on the wild side in Boston on Godzilla.
Godzilla's all done this. Awesome.
It is an amazing ride. You're going to love it.
I love it. Yeah, definitely. Yep.
It's terrific. You learn all history of Boston Harbor, and you have the crap scared out of you all at the same time. Doesn't get any better than that, okay?
Not really.
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay. Have yourself a fabulous day. Thank you very much for playing with us this morning. I think you did a fine job, and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Thanks an awful lot.
You bet. Anybody else, if you want to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds where you can actually win $1,000 from Century Bank, all you have to do is register and qualify. Then we'll give you a call. Just log on to WROR.com.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Morning, everybody. It's time for your early men from Maine. Here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus and Effie have been having a few marital problems and have been seeing Doc Sider for a little counseling when we hear...
Well, what seems to be the problem with you two when you're arguing?
Well, Doc, me and Effie are having this big argument about where we go on vacation.
Well, that should be easy enough to work out. You just compromise. Perhaps you spend half the vacation where she wants to go, and then the other half where you want to go.
Well, that won't work, Doc.
Well, why not?
Well, because I want to go to Cape Cod.
So?
And she wants to go with me.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
What the f*** is that?
The Lorne and Wally Show.
Holy f***.
105.7 WROR.
Okay, speaking of summer vacation and wanting to go to the Cape, like LBF just got back from the islands. Okay.
I did. Sounds very tropical, but it wasn't.
Okay. But she's discovered that she's a horrible beacher. So coming up right after 7 o'clock this morning, we're going to find out what does it really take to be a good beacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And in the meantime, coming up next on the program, we need help for PJ, the eternal intern, because she has a problem with...
Squirrel!
That's right. Squirrel problem.
Squirrel!
Squirrel problem.
She does.
Okay. So we need help from the nation on this.
Okay.
What's the deal with your squirrels?
So at the apartment that I semi-stay at half the week, a.k.a. my boyfriend's house, we've planted a...
Sinner.
We've planted lavender that got uprooted this year and geraniums, which squirrels aren't supposed to like, but somehow are still uprooting them. So I need help. We've tried everything.
You've sprayed stuff on and the
like? We've sprayed stuff on. We've tried the cayenne pepper. We've tried the mothball effect, but nothing's worked.
Okay, I have a great idea, and I'll share it.
Think so? Okay, members of the nation, we need your help on this. 617-931-1057.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, it is time to get help for PJ, the eternal intern, this morning. Because she's got a squirrel problem.
Squirrel!
That's right. So you've got, what are they eating?
They've eaten, what haven't they eaten? So up on our porch, we had lavender that got dug up. And then we actually went out and bought to a garden center, and they suggested we get geraniums. So we bought geraniums, and we planted those, and those are getting dug up. What they're doing is they're taking peach pits and cherry pits from people's trash and, like, already trying to stow them away for the winter.
In your geraniums?
In the geraniums. I mean, it's a semi
very bold,
decent size.
Very bold. these are brave squirrels.
Very brave squirrels.
Okay,
so we've tried the spray. We've tried someone else said seashells. If you chop up seashells and put them up, they won't like it on their paws. And we've also tried, I know it's a little cruel, the chili powder, but it's better than
cruel. It's a squirrel.
I don't know.
I mean,
I just feel that.
Have you tried coyote urine yet?
Have you tried your own urine yet?
It's not my place to put down coyote
urine. Has Paul
urine,
tried to pee on the squirrel yet?
Yeah.
No, I have suggested that. He wouldn't do it.
Oh, my God.
It hasn't worked so far. Okay, hang on. We got members of the nation are great. Always help. Kathy's in line. Hey, Kathy, how you doing this morning?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. Squirrel expert?
Yes and no.
Squirrel! Yep, okay. So what's the deal?
So a couple of things. Animal fur, if you have a dog or a cat, you put it around the base. They don't like that. The other thing I've tried is shaved. I've shaved and chunked Irish Spring soap.
Oh,
no. Okay.
They
no
don't
kidding.
Like that. And you can stick that in there. If it's planted in the ground, you could try changing up the soil. Go to something that's more manure-based because it's stinky.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then the last thing, and I'm sorry, Lauren's not going to like this, is that they would always like a nice antifreeze cocktail.
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah.
I would like it. I'm not on the committee to save the squirrels at all. I don't like them, so that's no big deal to me. It's a
but
little diabolical.
I might try the Irish Springs. It might smell a little bit better than the manure.
Yes, okay. Right. That's a good idea.
Well, Kathy, thank you
very
much.
Thanks, Kathy. That was very informative.
Okay, we got Chris is on. Chris, are you an expert?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your qualifications?
I work for a pest control company.
So what do you do? Do you just, what do you do?
Or can trap them.
You trap them?
Yeah, we trap them and we remove them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That sounds very suspicious. We remove them.
Yeah. Okay.
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 That's a lot, but that's
it's tough. I mean, Woburn is like an animal sanctuary right now.
I have a good idea.
Okay, what do you think, Hank?
Put a for sale sign in front of your house.
Really?
It's not mine to sell.
You got
to
move.
I know. Probably.
Oh, you can't move because of a squirrel.
They'll find you. They keep coming back. I lived in Melrose. They ate the eaves of my home.
I know.
And invaded
They've
my ass.
They've also already gone through our screen window in the kitchen.
I used to want to be like Snow White. I wanted like squirrels and chipmunks and birds. And now if there's an animal near my house, I'm like, that's it. We're moving. I can't take it. I know that makes me probably like the Antichrist, but it's true. You don't want to be Snow White.
Nope.
You want to be Cinderella. She lives in a castle, and there's nobody around except two mice, and one's Chubbs.
Okay. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. Okay, have a great day. Bruce is online. Hey, so what do you say, Bruce?
I've always been told mint. That's why they use the mint-scented trash bags. Rodents do not like mint.
Oh.
Mint. Okay.
Oh, you could drink a mojito.
Perfect.
Right outside and then pour it into the plant and you'd be all set. Two birds, one drink.
We got it covered. Hey, thanks a lot.
A little peppermint schnapps will work, too.
Wow.
Okay, thanks. In the meantime, coming up next on the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program, man, oh man, can you believe this?
You won't believe who has not Halloween decorations out.
No.
Christmas decorations out.
Okay.
August 8th.
The Lorne and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Welcome to the special feature on the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program called Rushing the Season.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Really.
It's bad enough that, like, no joke, the day Lucy got out of school, I got a Land's End catalog for back-to-school backpacks.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't even, like, live in the moment. And now back-to-school shopping is, like, in full force. In fact, I think we're a little bit late. You know, like...
Yeah, you haven't even started.
I haven't even started yet.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's Halloween candy that kind of pops up, or pumpkin beer, or, you know, all this sort of... Yeah, the beer switches over right about now, which really ticks me off. But this is insane. It is August 8th. It is, how many degrees out?
It's going to be 87 today.
87 degrees.
It was like 94, 95 yesterday.
In London, where they're experiencing a heat wave, that would be Selfridge's store has put up all the Christmas decorations already.
Wow.
Already.
Wow.
I mean.
Wow.
I guess they did it because it's an extra buzz around the store. Now people are talking about it. But they'll expand the Christmas shop on September 4th, putting up 4,000 goods for sale. But they started already. I just think that that's wrong.
But even
don't
September 4th is even early to expand.
Yeah, the fact that I even think that that's acceptable is ridiculous. But, I mean, I love Christmas. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I know that
yeah.
Hank thinks about Christmas as soon as Christmas stops. You know.
How many days till Christmas, Hank?
53, 84... Let's see. 143.
143 days of Christmas. Well, the problem is, if you keep, you know, if you really love Christmas and you keep, you know, expanding, you dilute it, and it's not special anymore.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's too soon. What do you think? Okay. What do you think the start date should be? If there was a law, start date should be on putting
November
Christmas
the
decorations. November the 1st?
I think that would be, you know, because you're getting into the Thanksgiving season.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
you're 3 weeks yeah. away from Thanksgiving yeah. there. And then, you know, by the end of January, you're all through with the thing. And
my family, it started the day after Thanksgiving because
yeah.
we'd go out, do a little shopping.
Yep.
Now, we would never put the tree up until about 10 days before Christmas. If I asked my mother December 1st, she'd threaten not to put it up.
Oh, really?
What
okay.
are you kidding me? We're not going to have it up for 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, because when I was a kid, we'd put it up like a couple weeks before Christmas, and that was it.
Halloween yeah. needs to be completely over. Done. And
yep,
then you
yep.
can start. I think we should just get through a holiday and then go to the
Well, Starbucks has already started getting all their supplies for the pumpkin spice. So,
I
now,
mean,
you know, that's coming.
It's a little
it's
extreme,
be all pumpkin,
but we're
though.
At least almost close to October. At least we're like 6 weeks from October.
Okay. All right. That now you make it sound normal.
Yeah.
What, do you work in marketing?
Maybe.
Yeah, but we're only 4 weeks from 4th of July.
I know, right?
No, you're right.
But
are.
I know what I'm giving away for Halloween.
Yeah, what are you giving away for Halloween?
Candy canes.
Okay, that's a brilliant idea, Hank. And by the way, okay, we got to talk about these Red Sox.
Oh, my God.
These Red Sox are unbelievable, and they did it again last night.
Yeah, boom, 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 and they waited to the last minute, too. But they went big. They rallied for 10-7 win in 10 innings in Toronto. They trailed 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth. J.D. Martinez lined a 3-run homer off the left field foul pole. But Heath Hembry gave up a run in the eighth. Kimbrell won in the ninth. It went to extras. And to Mitch Moreland, the all-star first baseman, blasted a 3-run home run in a 5-run 10th inning rally. Jackie Bradley Jr. added a 2-run shot. Jay scored twice in the bottom of the 10th. Sox hold on for the win. Moreland and Martinez, 4 RBIs apiece. Yankees won 4-3-13 over the White Sox. Sox lead still 9 games. Listen to this. They're the first team in Major League Baseball this season to 80 wins. The last time they won 100 games or more was in 1946.
Holy cow.
Sox are on pace to win 113 games.
Unbelievable.
Major League record is 116. That was set in 2001 by the Mariners and 1906 by the Cubs. Tonight, Brian Johnson against the Jays, Mike Housechild. Prayers and good wishes for Nesson's Jerry Remy, the popular color commentator, announced yesterday he's suffering from cancer. It's the sixth time in 10 years he's taking a leave of absence. He's had lung cancer multiple times, although they didn't say what type he's battling right now, so prayers to Jerry. Patriots play the Redskins tomorrow night in Foxborough in their preseason opener. And running legend Dave McGilvery, Boston Marathon race director and close friend of the Lorna Wally Show, he's going to run from Medford City Hall to Fenway Park August 23rd to commemorate his run from Medford, Oregon to Medford, Massachusetts 40 years ago in 1978. Wow. I lived right next door to Dave's house. I was at the Davenport School at the time. He was a huge celebrity, and he's trying to raise $100,000 for the Jimmy Fund with this effort. Go to WROR.com, and we'll tell you how to donate.
Okay, the big Brian Bellbuster is coming up next, and it's all about the big dust-up with a laundromat. In the meantime...
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR. Hello. The Brian Bellbuster.
Mornings on the 50s.
The Lauren and Wally Show,
105.7 WROR.
Okay, so Lori has a big christening coming up, and she needs her lucky dress back from the dry cleaners. But her friend Eva wanted to mess with her for her birthday, so I called her as the dry cleaners to let her know there was a little problem with the dress.
Hello?
Hi, trying to reach Lori?
Yeah, this is Lori.
Hi, Lori. Bruce from Dry Cleaners here.
Okay. What's going on?
It's calling about, you have a dress here?
Yeah.
I'm sure this is the correct dress. A blue dress?
It should be ready. I was going to pick it up. Is it not ready?
Well, we might need a little bit more time. There was that small stain down at the bottom of the dress that,
Wait a minute. No, I need, this is very, no, I need this for a christening. This is a big deal. I'm sorry. But,
okay, well,
it's not going to work.
We've done the stain removal. We did, you know, the regular dry solution on there, and it just didn't quite come out enough, so we had tried a little bit of a liquid, and it gave it a little bit of a discoloration there in the stain.
What?
So,
what?
Yeah,
what
so,
do you mean?
Well, it was a pretty good stain. I'm not sure what you'd get on that dress, but we got the
so
stain.
So, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You put a stain on a stain? Is that what you're trying?
It was a little discolored.
So, you made the dress, okay, so it's worse now, is what you're trying to say.
Oh, no. Once we couldn't quite get it out, what I did was we bleached it completely.
What?
So we could kind of get a fresh start.
Dress.
Yeah, so
you
then
bleached
we...
bleached a blue dress.
Right, so then we colored it blue again to try to get it all even.
Okay. So you bleached it and then you dyed it?
Kind of re-dyed it. That also did not work. Unfortunately.
What are you talking about?
Well, and then we tried to get the stain. It was a very stubborn stain, and we used a very powerful detergent, and it actually kind of ate a hole right there where the stain was.
You've got to be. This is ridiculous.
So here's what we did from there.
This is unacceptable. I don't even know.
No, what we did then, we made some very delicate laser cut patterns around the hole and made a hole pattern around the dress. It looks really nice.
What?
And the blue is very close to its original color now.
I can't even picture what are you even saying? How would this even fit my body at this point? Like, I don't even...
Oh, it's still the same size.
What?
Yeah, but it's a little bit different blue, and around the bottom of the dress now it has these little, you know, kind of a pattern of laser cutouts.
This has got to be...
kind of like little bunnies. And it should be ready tomorrow.
No! First of all, I need it today. If it's not perfect, you're paying me. Because now I have to go out to a store. I don't even know if I'm going to have time and buy something else. So, you know what? I'm probably just going to have to take you to small claims at this point. This is completely unacceptable. I've never even heard of something like this.
Yeah. You know why?
Why? You tell me why.
Because this is a Brian Bellbuster, Lori.
Oh, my God.
Your friend Eva let us know that you had this dress out at the cleaners, and she kind of wanted to mess with you for your birthday.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill her. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, I couldn't breathe. That was so... Oh, I cannot believe it.
Don't worry. I think your dress should be ready.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And you can get Eva back for her birthday, too, okay?
I don't need... Oh, yeah. Please. Obviously. Oh, my God. Thank you. Wow.
All right, well,
go pick your
dress up from the real dry cleaner, and thank you for listening to the Lorna Wally Show on WROR.
Thank you. Thank you. I will.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lorna and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the official Lorna and Wally Beach Loser Report. We have a beach. We're fortunate we have a beach loser in the studio with us this morning. Okay?
I am officially a beach loser. Now, I've kind of suspected this for a long time. I just don't know how to beach ride. I'm like, but I knew for sure that I was a beach loser recently when Lucy had to use the empties of my cocktails to make sandcastles and use the cocktail straw to write her name in the sand. Is that bad? That's bad. And this, the thing is we were at a resort and we were on vacation. And so this was the best case scenario for me. Like, this was so they provide the chairs, the umbrella and the towels, food and drink in plastic cups that your kid can use to make sandcastles later.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I realized at that moment, I was like, I, this is the only way I can do it, because when I'm left to my own devices, what happens is what happened yesterday. I went to pick up Lucy from camp in Woods Hole in Falmouth, and my friend invited me to the beach. I'm like, okay. So I grabbed my bathing suit.
Right.
That's it. Like, I just grabbed
nothing else, my
bathing suit. So I went to the beach. Like, most people, no chair. I think I had a towel in the back seat, probably used to pick up a spill. Very little sunscreen in my car. No food, no water, I left my pocketbook in my car.
Totally unprepared.
Totally unprepared. Yep, okay, and that's how I go to the beach.
Okay.
And my friend, who is like my beach buddy, I need a beach buddy, because she comes in like all jam-packed. A Yeti cooler with ice, all the chairs, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunscreen, chips, Pringles. Lucy literally was there from 10:30 until 2 o'clock, and she had... like maybe four bags of Pringles. I didn't have any food.
Does anybody have the number for DSS?
I know, really.
I just feel
seriously.
Like, am I the only person who does this, or are there like there are people like me out there who need beach buddies, and I think that I need help. Like,
it's
what
like
do
you
I
always
need
swim
to do?
With a buddy? You should always
yes,
beach with a buddy.
Yes, I always beach with a buddy if you're like me.
Okay, so when you're really lucky because we have two beach experts in the studio this morning. Hank is a beach expert.
You always have to go to the beach with an accountant because they're very logical and very orderly. They remember everything.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Everything. For yourself, bring as little as possible. Keys, wallet, phone, nothing else.
So that's what you need in a buddy.
That's what you need in a buddy.
Okay. So what if I wanted to become a better beach person?
Okay, well, PJ, the
adrenaline. Because I need a very simple way to like be prepared for the beach.
What do you got in your trunk right now?
Now, in my car at all times during the summer is my Tommy Bahama beach chair. And I say the Tommy Bahama one because it's like a backpack. So it has the straps on it that you can strap to your back. And in the back pockets is sunscreen and a towel at all times.
So
and
always.
Maybe a pair of sunglasses, always. Also, a foldable cooler, meaning like a bag cooler. You can probably like Five Below and all those type of places them.
Like a scout one.
Like a scout one. So you can
see those on the beach. I don't have one.
So on your way to the beach, if on a whim you decide to go, you can stop at like the supermarket, grab a couple sandwiches, a bag of ice, throw it in there. And then at the end of the beach day, you just dump it out because the water's all melted and you're ready to go home.
Okay, yeah.
That's efficient. Right?
Very efficient. Now, Hank, you got one of those Yeti coolers, don't you?
Oh, I have a spectacular Yeti cooler.
But it's big, right? I need something
It's
small.
Big and it's heavy. I don't take it to the beach. I take it camping with me.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But I try, if we go to a beach, like we went to Ogunquit Beach.
Yep.
And on purpose, I said, we are not bringing food because you can buy a hot dog and chips and a soda up the hill.
Okay.
That's one less thing you don't have to worry about. You pay bust out retail, but you don't have to worry
Schlepp,
about it.
No
one
schlepping.
Less thing.
Yep.
Because once we bring food, all of a sudden, my wife puts the keys in the food bag. They're not in her pocketbook. And suddenly, we don't know how to get home.
I see what you mean. So, do you have anything? Well, I know you have lots of things in your car, but do you have anything that you're like always ready for the beach?
I always have a beach chair in the back. I always have a bathing suit in the back because I have four of them.
Oh, really?
So, you always keep a clean one because I try and get 10 ocean swims in every year.
You do?
So, I always have a bathing suit with me.
Now you know.
Now okay. I know.
You should always go to the beach from now on with Hank and PJ. You'll be set. For life.
Yeah. I have the cocktail straws and the empties. If you anybody
See,
needs
you're the friend I want to bring to the beach with me because I forget that stuff.
I never do.
Lauren and Wally. Mornings. 105.7 WROR.
Hey, good morning. It's time for your 720 Men for Maine, so let's get to it. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Aoife's dog has been acting up, and he's had it.
You know, Lim, I've really had it with this dog of mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he'll chase anyone on a bicycle.
Ooh, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I guess the only answer is to take away his bicycle.
Oh.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Yeah?
Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lorne and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Okay, everybody, coming up next right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show, the Great Worcester Sinkhole.
Oh.
Did you see it yesterday?
It's crazy.
Okay, so the premise of this is, did you see the stuff when the guy's car goes into the sinkhole? Did you see the stuff actually come floating up out of his car? So what would come floating up out of the sinkhole in your car if you went into a sinkhole like that? We have some ideas.
I have some ideas about what would float out of Hank's.
In the meantime, Hank is here. We got any sinkholes this morning, Hank? 105.7 WRR. Good morning. This is the Lorne and Wally Morning Radio Program. And yesterday was an amazing... did you see the video of the car in Worcester?
Yeah, it's up at WRR.com and on our Facebook page as well. But it's crazy.
So this water main breaks out in Worcester. And it was a big, big water main. It was a 2-foot water main. You know, it's like that big around.
Yep.
And it just ate away everything, and the road caves in. This vehicle goes in, boom.
Like something you see in Florida.
Right.
Typical.
City. Yeah.
And they said that some of these, everybody was complaining, well, this pipe's been in there since 1955. They said that's nothing. They said they got pipes in the ground out in Worcester and here in Boston that had been in the ground since just after the Civil War. And they're still using them, see?
Great.
So,
anyway,
this thing goes and boom, all of a sudden, the stuff that starts floating because the car is submerged.
The car submerged and broke in half.
Yeah.
And then, so all the stuff in this car just rises to the top. And it's embarrassing. It's not only embarrassing that he went into the sinkhole and that his car split in half, but that all the stuff in his car was rising to the top. And it was like a dumping ground.
Oh.
like clothes like and
styrofoam
cups and trash.
Food
and
wrappers.
Like, what
and
the
amazing.
Heck?
Well, it's good. Styrofoam floats. It helped.
That's good. It could have helped him. It was like really a life jacket. You put them all together.
So we're thinking, okay, now, so what happens? Your car goes in a sinkhole and it splits in half. What's going to come floating out of your car? You're going to find a bunch of stuff you haven't seen in like, you know, since 1997 or something like that. Mm. So, Hank, what are they going to
find?
Well,
you know
car?
What? I'm driving a RAV4 today. My whole family drives it. So you'd probably find my Crocs, because those are always Crocs, with me
those
if I go
float.
To the beach.
Do those float, by the way?
They do float they nicely, float and they're always okay, clean. Good. Some tampons, because, you know, you'd always have to be prepared.
Yeah.
I did buy a new pair of socks I have in there. We usually have some pacifiers and Tic Tacs, and I did buy a new Cobra 10-degree loft driver yesterday at Goodwill, so.
Okay.
So, most of those things would float.
Yeah.
PJ, what you going to find in your car?
Tons of Poland Springs water bottles. Like, I think I collect them, and it's awful. Sneakers, a portable cornhole set. Tons of receipts.
I have a cornhole set
that we bring to the beach with us.
That's good.
That's what we pop up. Jewelry, concert tickets, and definitely CDs. I'm still a CD listener.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hi, 1991 called on a landline.
Really? Judgy.
What about you, Lauren Owens?
You'd find an ice scraper.
Okay.
You know, you'd find spare golf balls.
Okay.
And you might find a couple of golf clubs in there.
Probably your boat shoes you wore in the Pan
Yeah, my boat shoes. I have my boat shoes in there in case the water. An amazing thing, because I found something in my car yesterday that's made me decide I'm going to clean up my car more often, because I dropped a bottle cap and it rolled under the seat, you know?
Yeah.
And you had to scoot the seat up to get. And I reached under the seat and I found $60 in cash.
Whoa!
And apparently.
Serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Apparently, I thought I'd put it in my pocket and I shoved it down under the seat. At the same time.
So you're the type of person that just wouldn't miss 60 bucks in cash.
It was,
Do you know how awesome that is?
I'll clean.
You've arrived.
How about you?
I'll clean your car for you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what would float? Okay, so three pairs of pants and two shirts of Lucy's that I've been meaning to give to Goodwill for the past 6 months. A raincoat. My parka from the winter. A cowboy hat that I just bought.
Oh.
And dirt from Fenway Park.
What?
Wait a minute.
Well,
okay, hold on. You win. Okay, what are you doing with dirt from Fenway Park?
One time I played baseball at Fenway Park for
a charity thing.
I felt undeserving, and also I felt that I needed to take some of the dirt from Fenway Park and bring it with me because it would be good luck. And so where you need the most luck, I think, is in your car, so I keep it in my car.
It's, I assume it's in a baggie?
Not really.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
What the f*** is that, bro?
105.7 WROR.
Okay. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, during your Dirty Laundry Update. Man, there's some really weird stuff going on out there. What do you think it is the strangest thing that we have for doing?
Well, we got some child custody payments between rich people. I don't get this. And then Kathleen Turner talks smack about people. And I love it when Kathleen Turner talks smack because she has that voice
She talks like this.
She's like gravitas about it. I believe everything she says.
Boy, she was pretty tough on people, too.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe who she disses on this thing.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Well, we got a bunch of filthy laundry for you today. I mean, this is pretty good stuff. Okay, so we're good.
Well,
first,
I'm going to get to Kathleen Turner dissing everybody. Yeah. A little bit of a child custody battle between two super rich people, which I don't understand. But first,
here's a story.
Okay.
Of a lovely lady.
Remember the Brady Bunch house and how Lance Bass was wicked upset because some Hollywood production company swooped in and outbid him, and now he can't have the Brady Bunch house? Well, we found out who it was.
And it is now owned by
HGTV. They're going to restore it, and this is fantastic, to its 1970s glory on a future show. There's no word how much they paid for it. Lance is a HGTV fan, so he was a little less mad. And isn't that nice when you get outbid by something?
But then you find out it's okay.
So I don't know if like the Property Brothers are going to do it or like we'll see.
I have a feeling it's going to be like a Chip and Joanna Gaines.
No. I'm kind of.
You don't like them?
I do like them, but I'm just over how perfect they are. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's like they're too perfect, and then they make me feel bad about myself because...
Well, actually, I think, you know, when people are too perfect, you know there's something really hidden that's
wrong. They're probably just normal, nice people, but I can't stand normal, nice people.
Yeah,
because I am not normal, and I'm not often very nice.
I hope they leave the orange countertop and the orange table.
You think, yeah.
I think so, too. And I want to know what Alice's bedroom looks like.
Okay.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. What about?
Come on.
Sam the Butcher will be in the closet.
Are you gonna, you think they're going to have the avocado or the Harvest Gold appliances?
I hope they have all of it. I think
carpet.
They should mix it. Yes, please.
Yep.
All right. So, child custody. Angelina Jolie says Brad Pitt isn't paying child support. His fair share. I mean,
what's your fair share?
I don't know. There are no numbers in this, which is really ridiculous. But meanwhile, her original divorce lawyer reportedly quit because Angelina is angry and unreasonable.
Big surprise there, huh?
These two. You know what? There's a lid for every pot. They actually probably deserve each other. They should get back together.
Can I ask a serious question? Just out of curiosity, how many of those kids are actually like his to pay child support to?
Well, I think they adopted.
Like the three
they adopted them.
Yeah. Well, okay. They have three biological kids and they have... She adopted
three or four.
Knox,
and then he adopted the other kids that she already had?
Maddox.
So
they're all their parents. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, it's very confusing. But you know, what's not confusing is when my girl Kathleen Turner talks smack about Nicolas Cage, Donald Trump, and the cast of Friends. Oh, so she was interviewed. She just went house on everybody, on Elizabeth Taylor. Bad voice, badly used. I don't think she was very skilled. On being a sexual target in the 80s, did you see that movie Body Heat? I wasn't even allowed to see that movie.
Oh, my God, Body Heat.
I know, everybody. Yeah. Like, Body Heat was the thing. Like, weird dad talked about. Like, did you see Body Heat? Oh, made me feel funny. Anyway, she said...
Made me feel funny, too.
Being the sexual target, she understood later from Michael Douglas that there was a competition between Jack Nicholson, Michael Douglas, and Warren Beatty about who would get to her first.
Really?
Really?
Did they all get to her?
Nope,
I can't remember.
None of them did, she said.
Oh. You know,
I don't like being thought
thing.
Of a tro- as a trophy.
Okay, so when was that movie made? 1984, something like that. Because we were talking, a bunch of friends, we were talking about how things were different in the 80s. I mean, really, the whole culture was different.
Yeah.
And things like that were actually accepted.
What do you mean? Like?
Like a competition. Three guys would talk about something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
I mean...
That was like the culture has changed so much since that time.
That was called courting back then.
Has it, though? I'm not sure it has. I think it's probably not
in private circles. Oh, look at the hashtag movement.
Well, yes, it's starting to change, but I don't think it's... We have not seen a seismic shift. We've only seen the beginnings.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a
big... So get nervous, sir.
It's a big... I mean, you know, look at... For example, Les Moonves. You know, because... Most of his accusations...
Heads of CBS, by the way.
Come from the 80s.
Right.
So, anyway.
Because he's old now. He can't do anything.
But moving on.
Right. So, anyway. She said, I'm working with Nicolas Cage and Peggy Sue Got Married. Great movie, though. I can't stand him in it. He was very difficult on set, but she made it work. On Burt Reynolds, it was terrible. The first day Burt came in, he made me cry. He said something about not taking second place to a woman.
Really?
His behavior was shocking.
Wow.
And then on Donald Trump, he has a gross handshake. He said, this is interesting. He goes to shake your hand with with his index finger kind of rubs the inside of your wrists. Mm. And on the cast of Friends, she didn't feel very welcomed by them. That was a click, but I don't think my experience with them was unique. There you go, Kathleen Turner.
Okay. Kind of angry.
Well, who cares? I love an angry woman. That's who I identify with. Forget nice and perfect.
The angry woman.
I like a woman scorned.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, there's your dirty laundry update. Okay, coming up next.
105.7 WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It's time to play for the big bucks. $1,000 in cash from Century Bank is on the line right now. Brad in 60 Seconds. Our player is on the line as well. He's in the security game. He's from Beverly, Massachusetts, and his name is Anthony Parisi. Anthony, good morning, and welcome to the Lorne and Wally Morning Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, thank you. So, Anthony, you know the drill here. LBF is going to give you a series of 10 questions. You'll ask that in a time frame of 60 seconds. You'll hear the ticking in the background. You answer these as rapidly as you can. But if you find a stumper, don't let it shake you. You can pass at any time, move on, get them all in. Got time left at the end. We come back, pick them up, and maybe you'll get it. So are you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
What's 20% of 100?
20.
Where are the Obamas vacationing this August?
Pass.
What president signed the bill that created the Cape Cod National Seashore?
JFK.
When was the last time the Red Sox won the World Series?
2004.
On the sitcom The Facts of Life, what was Mrs. Garrett's first name?
Pass.
What's a female donkey called?
I don't know, pass.
What does the S in NASCAR stand for?
Pass.
What's the capital of New Jersey?
Capital of New Jersey is... pass.
What was Alexander Hamilton's wife's name?
I have no idea. Pass.
What part of the body is also known as the pollex? Okay.
Time.
This was a tough quiz.
Okay, that was a tough one this morning. Okay, you got
two right. Mm-hmm. One wrong, and the rest were passes. So, first of all, good math. Good job. 20% of 100 is 20. The Obamas are vacationing in Martha's Vineyard this August. Yes, JFK did. You got that one right. Created the Cape Cod National Seashore. The last time the Red Sox won the World Series was 2013. Mrs. Garrett's first name on the Facts of Life was Edna. A female donkey is called Jenny. The S in NASCAR stands for stock. The capital of New Jersey, I didn't know this either, Trenton. And let's see, the name of Alexander Hamilton's wife, Eliza or Elizabeth. And the part of the body known as the pollex is the thumb. The good news, the bad news is you got a lot of passes, but the good news is you've learned so much today.
And the better news is you have a consolation prize.
See my finger, see my pollux. That just doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't seem to rhyme at all, does it?
Okay. Had to rename it.
You know, the guy who stuck in his pollux and pulled out a plum? Doesn't work.
Little Jack Horner.
Okay. Hey, we got a 4-pack of passes to cruise on the wild side on Godzilla. This is a great ride. You're going to love this. Take everybody with you. They spin around the harbor. This thing stops on a dime. It goes screaming across the harbor at like 40 knots or something like that. It's really, really cool. So have a good time. Enjoy that. And thanks for being a member of the nation.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody else, next chance to play coming up tomorrow morning right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show. But if you want to play, you got to register. You can win $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. All you have to do is log on to WRR.com.
Okay, coming up next, the best college food in the nation is right here in Massachusetts, but you won't believe where it's coming out of.
Which
I know I couldn't.
Could it be?
We got a lot of choices around here. Yeah.
Okay, think about it. I'm dying to hear what school of all the colleges
are. Massachusetts is like a college town.
It is, really.
You got everything from like, you know, in the city, you've got BU, you've got Boston College, you've got Harvard, you've got MIT, you've got everything. You've got all the Bridgewaters, UMass, Boston. You've got
Le Cordon Bleu over in Cambridge.
There you go.
We do?
Got it all going on.
Yeah, Culinary Institute.
Oh, okay. So there you go. They didn't win, which is really odd.
MIT. MIT have good food?
I don't know, but I do know where the number one place for the best college food
is?
According to the Princeton Review, for the third year in a row.
Really?
UMass Amherst, people!
Get
Woo!
Out of town!
Yes! They have the best food. So you went to UMass Amherst. This is a fairly new development because when I went to UMass Amherst back in the 90s, their dining commons were just the best thing about them were the bagels and the, and I think I speak for all colleges, the giant refrigerated milk machine.
Oh, yeah, the milk
machine. The milk was amazing. Freezing cold, perfect.
Okay, you know the old thing about the freshman five, you know, where you go to school,
15,
you go out to school.
15.
I'm freshman 15.
I think it might be 30 now.
You gain weight. And I think it's all due to the milk machine.
I think it might be. But at UMass Amherst now, it might be due to all the awesome food that they have. So this is the third year in a row. And it's kind of crazy because since 1999, participation in the university's meal plan has more than doubled. from 80, because when I went to Mass, you didn't get the meal plan. You're like, you get half the meal plan. You'd make ramen noodles in your dorm, and then you just go down to the DC for bagels and milk, because it was so good. But now they have almost 20,000 of the students are involved in the school's meal plan. And that's, that's pretty insane. And it serves 45,000 meals a day and $5.5 million annually. Well, here's the deal. Yeah. This is what's great about it.
What?
They have four dining commons open from 7 a.m. to midnight. They feature, this is not like the real world, people, just so you know, features 12 to 15 cuisines from around the world daily using local, sustainable ingredients. Oh, and then if you have a poor dining experience, you just couldn't call home and say, Mom, I need to get off the dining plan. You have a text and tell program, which encourages students to give their feedback about the food. Apparently, at one point, they substituted a Szechuan ramen bowl for the usual Japanese curry, and people went bananas. There were protests, they were burning bras. It was nuts.
Really?
Wow.
Boy, times have changed.
So anyway, I guess most people who eat their meals off campus, it adds to their expenses, so they just eat on. The favorite is a stir fry. You pick your vegetables, your meat, or your tofu, and they cook it right in front of you.
Wow. So today, when it comes to the food, they're burning bras. When I was in school, they just went ahead and burned the food. You know what I mean?
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crush with Fame game here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio Program. Okay, this is brought about because of a little story we read, which took place here.
Yeah, it was this woman in New Jersey. She has a habit of paying it forward. I don't understand people like that. They're very nice. But anyway, she ended up paying it forward for Keith Urban, who's a country rock star married to Nicole Kidman. She ended up paying for, Hank, was it his coffee or was his gas?
I didn't think he was at Dunkin' Donuts.
He was at a gas station the other day, and he was getting a cup of coffee.
Okay, so it was a good little thing.
But and then, it came up a little bit short.
Yeah, and so she was like, here, I'll give it to you, and it was Keith Urban. How does Keith Urban, that's the thing, he just doesn't carry cash, I guess.
Doesn't carry cash, and he said, thank you very much, and then he introduced himself. I'm Keith Urban, thank you so much for paying for my coffee. And,
is that what he's saying?
That's
that
exactly
what
it sounded.
One of the best Keith Urban impressions I've ever heard in my entire life.
Because he's from down under.
But that's kind of neat. That doesn't happen every day.
Okay, best brush with fame you've ever had. Hank, what about you?
My wife used to go to Woodman's as a kid. Woodman's up in Essex, Massachusetts.
Sure.
Almost like Lobster in the Rough and everything. And we were up there one day. It's like 95 degrees, smoking hot. My kids are starving. So I go to get in line. And as I'm standing, and it's an enormous line because a lot of people line up to go. And I look over it, and this guy catches my attention because he's very thin, but it's like 95 and humid. He's got a black beret on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's got a long black sleeve shirt on, and he's got black jeans. I'm thinking, this guy is out of his mind. No wonder he's so damn skinny. It's 95, and he's dressed up like it's February. I take another look. It's Peter Wolfe.
Oh, that's
okay.
Neat.
Jay Giles, waiting in line for a clam plate.
Nice. You. I rode up in an elevator with Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones. I didn't. He just looked like an old guy. I think that's Charlie Watts, and they were in town, for me, I'm always like a day late and a dollar short. I'm like, I couldn't fan out because I wasn't like it was Whitney Houston or Britney Spears personally.
Sound like Wally,
but
really,
I was pleasantly surprised that I recognized him and that I kept my cool.
I rode an elevator. I got an elevator, and David Hasselhoff was standing there. And it was just the two of us,
That was on our trip to London.
Yeah, we were in London at
is
the time.
Is he tall?
I would guess 6'5". And, I should have known it was him right away because the elevator was moving in slow motion.
Oh, right.
And he had red bathing suit.
Were you cool, or were you like,
no,
hey,
it's cool.
Up?
I just, hey, how you doing? And he seemed, pleasant and all that sort of thing.
I don't know if I would be cool. I think I'd be like, oh, my God, you're David Hasselhoff. Yeah, I'm not cool when it comes to that.
I didn't say things like, hey, how's Pamela Anderson doing?
Oh, yeah, no
kidding.
Like
okay, are you going to the pool? Mm-hmm. I'm going to be swimming in a little while.
Yeah, keep an eye on me, would you please? I'm not that good a swimmer. Okay, well, hang on. We got Brenda. Hey, Brenda. Okay, brush with fame. What'd you find, Brenda?
Well, I used to work down the vineyard when I was in high school. So that was in 1980. And I had Carly Simon's name for ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Fun.
Yep. And then I also had Barbara Streisand.
Oh, my God.
And Billy Joel.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I would have lost it. Wait, out of the three, who were you most, starstruck
by? Who blew you away?
I think Billy Joel.
Really?
Because Barbara Streisand was kind of goofy. She, like, ran in, and then someone noticed who she was, and she kind of ran out kind of weird.
Yeah, because I think she is a little, like, shy.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's what it was. But Billy Joel came in, and then it must have been soon when he got divorced with Christy Brinkley.
Oh.
Because he looked around and he said, is anybody single?
Oh. And he was getting ice cream, so he was a little depressed.
That's pretty funny. Okay, hey, thanks for calling. Have a great day today. Hey, we got
you bet. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Hey, Roy's online. Okay, Roy, so who did you have a brush of fame with?
Well, it's 1968, if you guys can flash back to that date. And I'm on my way to a training in Indianapolis, Indiana, with a big drug company called Eli Lilly out there, and there's no pun intended.
Yeah.
On the airplane at Chicago, a stopover, on jumps this gentleman, tall, big hat, straw hat, white clothing, and these fancy multicolored scarves, and it's none other than Jimi Hendrix.
Wow, that's a pretty good brush of fame.
I was absolutely speechless, and instantly everybody on the airplane pulls out a piece of paper and a pencil for an autograph.
Oh my God, those are the days, not a phone.
Yeah.
Take a picture.
No phone. And I still have that autograph.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he signed for everybody, huh?
I'll tell you, he was terrific. I mean, you know, I don't know if he was on drugs or not, but he was
odds
great.
They were friendly kinds.
Yeah. Was there a purple haze in the plane?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there was a purple haze around him.
Yeah.
Okay, can't imagine.
That's
okay.
Fantastic.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Wow.
Yeah, good morning. This is the Lauren Wise Show. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi. Who did you have? Who did you have a close encounter with here?
My sister was a stand-in for Elizabeth Taylor in 1964 in the movie The Sandpiper.
No, sir.
Wow. Yes, she was.
Does she look like Elizabeth Taylor?
I never met Liz, but I met my sister.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's close then. Thanks.
Yeah.
105.7 WROR. Lauren and Wally.